Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel 13. The hardest fruit to deal with, I suppose, is that which is of our own doing. And we will see an example of that in this chapter and beyond, as we began to see the fruit of David's choices in his life. A man who loved the Lord, a man who was described as being after God's heart, and yet David made some horrendous decisions, and his inaction led to some very difficult things in his life and in his family. In Romans, we read, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and being servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting." So there's a choice there in our lives, whether to feed the flesh and reap the consequences, or to feed the spirit and to reap holiness and that abundant life that the Lord intends us to have. In this chapter, we're going to be dealing really with the issue of lust. And in our world, we hear a lot of talk about love in the media, on the airwaves, television, movies, and all those kinds of things. But so often, what they call love is really not love at all. It's lust. And we need to learn to distinguish those things. And God hasn't left us without a guide for what really constitutes love. Most of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the love chapter. And there's a segment in the center of it, really, that declares, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." So as we begin to look at that which those around us call love, we can hold that relationship up to these things and have a pretty clear idea if it is, in fact, love as God describes it. Here in this chapter, we have a man, his name is Amnon. Amnon was David's firstborn. And Amnon is a man that's self-centered and lost. And we read about him. "It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." So Amnon, whose name means faithful, failed to live up to his name. And it says here that he thinks he loves Tamar, who is his half-sister, the sister of Absalom. And it says that he was vexed or annoyed or tossed about as waves as he was trying to figure out how to have this inappropriate relationship with Tamar. The battle, guys, is won and lost in the mind. Amnon failed to put his mind in check as he began to consider this relationship with Tamar. Rather than taking those thoughts captive, he began to meditate upon them to the point where it led to physical sickness. In 2 Corinthians 10, we heard it mentioned earlier today. We read, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And it is a battle, right? We are in a battle, guys. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Unfortunately, Amnon didn't have the New Testament to read these verses, but he did have the law, which gave him direction and guidance. He failed to listen to his training. He failed to pay attention to what God had said. Instead, he decided that he was going to go down this path of how to satisfy his own longings, knowing full well that it was forbidden by God's standards, God's law. In verse 3, we read, but Amnon had a friend, underlined friend, and in the margin put not, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. So he was actually a cousin. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father comes to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Jonadab was called here in those verses subtle, which means devious. And we have to ask ourselves the question, is that the kind of friend we want to have? The first mention of the word subtle in the scripture we find in Genesis chapter 3, where we read, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And as Jonadab is speaking, you can almost hear the hiss of the serpent as he speaks into his friend's life. We have to really ask ourselves the question, what is a friend? We use that term pretty loosely these days. There's a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. Proverbs gives us some guidance. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, we read, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Was Jonadab expressing love for his friend, or was he pointing him to destruction? Chapter 27, verse 6 in Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If Jonadab had been a true friend, he would have wounded his friend, if you will, by saying, no, Amnon, that is not right. That is wrong. You need to change your thinking. You need to turn away from that. But he did not do that. Later in that same chapter, verse 17, we read, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's what Jonadab should have been doing with Amnon, to help him through this time where he was feeling weak in that he was tempted. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus would say, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Those are tall standards for friendship. And that's why we can safely say we only have a few friends, true friends in our lifetime. Those that would rise to that occasion, that are willing to be faithful, unlike Jonadab. A friend does not encourage you in fulfilling a sinful desire. And if they begin to do that in your life, then you need to get away, because they are not friends. As we shall see, his counsel is very costly. Amnon was strongly affected by his friend's presence and counsel, and that's why we need to be so careful about who we build relationships with in our lives and who we allow our children to build relationships with as well. We have a great responsibility there of setting boundaries, of knowing who our kids are associating with and hanging out with and what they're doing, because it's there that they're going to be getting counsel that we may not agree with. And it's so important for us to know and understand that. It is a stewardship which we have been given. And as long as our children are in our home, they're under our authority. They get to that point, they don't want to be under our authority, then they can live their lives. But as long as they're with us, God has given us a challenge to make sure that they are going in the right direction. And that's not always a popular thing with our kids, or sometimes with our friends and family, those around us. You will be criticized if you set strong boundaries. It's the way it works in the world. Verse 6, so Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in thy sight, that I may eat at her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat, and Amnon said, out, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar came, took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. So Amnon, rather than being faithful, is being deceitful to gain his goal. He not only deceives his father in getting him to send Tamar to his home, which, by the way, was an unwise decision by David, as he puts Tamar in a compromising position. David should have been willing to say no, but he wasn't. So he brings her into his house, and then he asks everyone else in the house to leave. That should have been a sign to Tamar to run. And when she had brought them in to him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come, lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her, but being stronger than her, forced her to lay with her. Lust is now in full control of Amnon's life. It's interesting. Lust takes control of one, which then takes control or takes from someone else without regard to cost. That's what happened in Amnon's life and in Tamar's life. Amnon took from her that which she could not protect. When love controls one, the individual gives to another and builds them up, even as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The world's concept of love is messed up, totally messed up. We hear that all restraint has been thrown off now. You have men with men, women with women. You have men and women together, multiple, polyamorous, they call it. It's madness. It's nothing new. It's not freedom. It's bondage. God's design is always best. And we need to know and understand that. We need to stand strong in this world. Be willing to say it. We need to stand strong and declare the message clearly. No judgment is coming. We read about it in the book of Revelation. We don't want anybody to experience that. People are lost. They're looking for hope. They're looking for love. But the world's lied to them and they bought that lie. We can tell them truly what love is because love is a person. It's not an emotion at all. Love is a commitment to Jesus Christ. He is love. And when we have a relationship with him, then we can love the way he intended us to love. So Amnon takes Tamar's virginity. Verse 15, then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. That's an amazing verse, really. What he thought was love was just lust. And when he achieved his goal, all of a sudden he hated her more than he ever thought that he loved her. And that's a word for our young people, by the way. If you're being pressured to enter into a sexual relationship, do not do not succumb to that pressure, because what will happen is exactly what we see here. That which is lust will take from you and then will be gone, will isolate, will remove, and you will be left alone, hurting. What he called love was replaced by hatred. The idea, the romance of it, if you will, seemed sweet, but it ended up very bitter. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her head, on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment and of divers colors that was on her, and went on crying. Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? Behold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. Note that it does not say that he took action. He was angry about what had happened, but he did nothing. Why? Because, you see, it was simply a reminder of what had happened between him and Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. It essentially removed his moral authority, if you will, at least in his mind, and he did not take action, and so there will be action taken down the road. He failed to act. And what we will see is that his son will act instead. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold now, thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said unto Absalom, nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable or a burden unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and very valiant. So let's just put a little valiant action here. Let's call this something than what it actually is, and that's premeditated murder. But 2 years have gone by, 2 full years. But we know that revenge really knows no bounds. Absalom had planned Amnon's murder in every detail. And although he tries to make his plans sound noble, they're not noble, because he even manipulates his old men to achieve his ends. And he uses the time of festivity, the sheep shearing, to basically enshroud his plan. But it's not the sheep that he's after. And all of this happened because of uncontrolled lust. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We have a choice to make, to either abstain from fleshly lusts or to partake of them. And every one of us that's sitting here has been tempted at one point or another in that area, whether it's on the internet or in our relationships or in our workplace. None of us is immune to temptation. You know, as I was preparing this stuff, I experienced that this week. Just amazing, the intensity. Because that's what the evil one wants to do. He wants to bring you and me. He wants to bring us down. Because if he can short circuit our spiritual connection to our Heavenly Father, he can short circuit the ministry that he wants to do in our lives. When we're short circuited vertically, we're short circuited horizontally. Make no mistake about it. We need to guard our hearts, as the scripture says, from there comes the issues of life. And if you find yourself caught up in that lust, it's a short step to renewal. Just get on your knees and cry out to God for forgiveness and restoration. He can restore the years of the locusts of Eden. Many stories of God's restoration, his restorative work. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's son arose, and every man got him up on his mule and fled. And it came to pass while they were on the way that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth. And all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. So the first news is a false report. All your sons, David, are dead. It's a good warning to us of being careful of chatter. I had to call somebody the other day. I passed on a story about something, a situation, which I thought was accurate. After I passed it on, I found it wasn't accurate at all. It was chatter. And I had to call back and deal with that. We need to be careful. And then we read something very interesting, verse 32. Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead by the appointment of Absalom. This hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Who is this? Jonadab. You remember him? Amnon's friend. Amnon's now dead. Jonadab's still kicking. Not only is he kicking, he's in the court giving the king counsel. Amazing. Amazing. The consequences were Amnon's, not Jonadab's. Jonadab's friend, or rather Amnon's friend, Jonadab, was there to report Amnon's death. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to heart, his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hill side behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come, and as thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing how he was dead. So Absalom and his men carry out the deed. And then he flees to Geshur to spend time with his grandfather. David's left to mourn the loss of really two sons at this point, Amnon, his firstborn, and Absalom because he fled. But even all of this, Absalom's gone for 3 years. He has plans working in his mind, plotting against his father. He is a self-seeking, self-focused, and self-centered man, as we shall see. As we look at verse 39, it can really be looked at in two ways, where it said, the soul of David longed to go forth unto Absalom. Was that for restoration or was that for discipline? I would tend to think on the latter, because if he wanted him restored, he could have just sent and brought him back into his presence. David desires to go after Absalom and deal with his sin, but time, over time, David's resolve is softened. And he will bring Absalom back, but he won't see him for another 2 years. So for 5 years, he didn't see his son. Difficult journey. As David was sorting through all of these events, as he was reflecting back on his life, I'm sure he regretted the day that he looked over that rampart and saw a woman bathing on a roof, and the choices that he made, and the fruit now that is born from that. And perhaps we can find ourselves in that place. You know, this was a hard study for me, because there's things that I, in my life, I look back at and I think, I wish I would have never done that. Too late. You deal with it. The good news, as Nathan told David, you won't die. Your sins are forgiven. Unfortunately, we're left with the consequences. That's what we need to share with our kids. Our God is a forgiving God, but there are consequences. Lifelong, many of them. Our God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've told us the truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you use all of those to minister into our hearts and to our lives. How we praise and thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And Father, our prayer is that you would help us to walk faithfully with you in these days. For those of us who are older, to sound, Lord, the warning, the alarm, the truth, Lord, to our youth about the importance of faithfulness. I pray, Father, that our kids, Lord, would be grown up in your ways, Lord, that they would be truthful, that they would be honorable, that they would be men and women of integrity, that they would be those who have a heart after you, and that they would purpose in their hearts, as David and his friends, that they would not defile themselves, Lord, with the things of the world. I pray, Father, for each heart here today, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are working. Help us to walk, Lord, in the reality of an eternal relationship with you, and learn from the mistakes of others. May the Lord bless you today and in the coming days. May He guide and direct your steps and give you the resolve and strength to choose wisely when the fiery darts of the wicked come, that you would have the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Your loins would be girded with truth and strength, and your feet shod with the gospel of peace, that you might have victory over those things. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.